Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Don't look so sad, Mike.
Hello. Welcome to Orlando, another edition of Orlando Lions Den podcast. We're here tonight. We got our boys. We got Mike Cleon and JJ. Just feels like the old days. Feels like back in 2018 right now almost. Feels like we're showing up to talk about another loss, not a win for like what, I don't know, fourth straight time. I don't know. I can't even count, but it's been a long time that we've won a game other than against a Canadian Premiership team. So we're back again. Thanks for coming along with us. We'll start with our introductions. Cleon, you haven't been on in a while. You've been suffering from a little dental mishap or dental.
Yeah, man. Yeah, my swelling's gone down, so I could talk for the most part.
He's back. He's got a little bit.
I'm slightly limited. With my season S's, so
yeah, he's got a little bit of a lisp going on, but it's all right. Better a lispy Cleon than no Cleon at all. So that's what we used to say, at least. JJ, what's up, my man?
I'm kind of mad because Orlando City still hasn't won a game, and I can't get my damn free Polar Pop from Circle K. And all my Circle K discounts and free stuff that, you know, with the new marketing and sponsorship. Come on, OC. I want to get some nice Circle K stuff.
Yeah. I've had to budget an extra dollar a week for that, I guess, nowadays. So, Mike, how's it going, man? I know you did the Den After Dark on Saturday. It was pretty dark for the part that are on Sunday, for the part that I listened to.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was your birthday, so like you shouldn't have even been listening to that. You already had a bad enough day and a loss on your birthday. Like, you didn't need to deal with that. But dude, I love the Den After Dark because it's a little bit more raw. It's off the cuff. It's a good time. Everyone gets to speak their mind. Everyone has differing opinions. We really didn't argue too much. We were all passionate, but no one argued too much. And at the end of the day, I get to be like Maury at the, you know, I get to like try and calm people down. It's not quite Jerry Springer level, but it's kind of like you're not the father level of Maury. So it ends up being fun.
I just noticed JJ's name on the screen. If you're watching, it's pretty funny, but we'll get more to that. I'm sure a little bit later in the show. We'll start off with our sponsors. We'll start off with Comparion Insurance with our friend Eddie, who's not with us tonight, but he'll be on the next few shows, I think. And he's been joining us on the Den After Dark as well. He's been busy. He's went on a cruise with his daughter and his other daughter's doing all sorts of awesome theater stuff. So, Eddie, if you're listening, we miss you. But if you need insurance and you're not Eddie and you're listening, give him a call. House Insurance, Auto insurance, renter's insurance, life insurance, pet insurance. I got all my insurance already. It's the cheapest I could find, and I'd like to have somebody that I could just text whenever I need something. So I shoot him a text and say, hey, can you send me my ID card? Or hey, you know, can you move my payment or something like that? And he always does it for me. So it's nice not to have to call in and listen on hold and save money. So if you need your insurance checked out, if it's going up, call Eddie. You see the QR code on the screen. You know his Twitter handle at Eddie the Commish, and he'll be more than happy to help you out with that. You could also just inbox the podcast account, and we'll attend to that as well. So thanks, Eddie, for all you do. And we'll get on to Leo at Epic Mortgage Team, powered by U Mortgage. Leo Gonzalez, once again, he's with us for a long time now. And if you need, if you're buying a house and you need a mortgage broker, give Leo a call. He offers competitive rates. And if you're just thinking about buying a house and you want to know what the market looks like, you want to know if it's a good time to buy, if you want to know what rates are doing, just inquire with Leo. At Loans by Leo, 407-844-7696, or applywithleo.com. We got Field Turf USA. Been with us from the beginning, from day one. We played on their turf this past weekend and suffered another loss up in Atlanta. Fortunately, we didn't get the sweet tickets. Those have been gone for a little while. I think last time we went, Cleon and Eddie got a little too rowdy, so they got us kicked out, maybe like a 4 or 5 year ban. I don't know how it works, but
kind of thankful to get them this time.
they're still with us. I know you missed the seats, Cleon, but you know, hey, it happens, I guess. But that's Field Turf USA. And then our last sponsor is Fubo TV. You got the QR code on the screen. We post it underneath the pod as well. Hundreds of channels they have free TV that they offer. It's all listed by the genre that you like. Like to watch food TV and you know, CSI. I heard they have a whole crime scene channel and all sorts of fun stuff for free on Fubo TV. You can also, of course, watch tons of soccer online there as well with their membership. So if you are going to sign up for Fubo, go ahead and use our QR code. It helps us out, goes a long way if you use the Orlando Lions Den link. All right. Dive right into it. We didn't pod last week. We had we had Cleon out. We had all of us were dealing with stuff last week. It was a tough week to go. The late night match against Tigres was no Den After Dark at 2 a.m. or 1:30, whatever time it ended. So we skipped last week, so we got a lot to cover. Since we talked to you last, we have losses to Minnesota at home. We have Tigres loss, and we lost to Atlanta on Sunday. So a pretty putrid week from Orlando City Soccer Club. We'll start with the Minnesota loss quickly. We get the fastest goal in Orlando City history, Duncan McGuire, after 13 seconds. I was pumped. I was in the stadium. It was great, fantastic. And then it kind of went down the tube after that. We go down 2-1, two goals from Pookie. One just abysmal mistake from Pedro, and then kind of a mistake from Pedro. Felt like he should have saved that second goal, but just overall sloppy. We come back, tie the game, and then just give up a dagger, one that really stuck right in the back in the 92nd or 93rd minute, and they come back and take the 3 points at our home stadium. So it was a tough loss to swallow, especially heading into the Tigres match on Tuesday. Just quickly, any thoughts about that Minnesota game? Let's start with you, JJ.
Thoughts? I have a lot of thoughts. Right now, all my thoughts have sunk. But honestly, I'll be honest with you guys. That game, you know, Duncan scored that first goal. I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be finally our first victory. And we just fell apart. I don't want to hear lucky. I don't want to hear any of that. I'm hearing, Minnesota got lucky with his goals and this and that. Listen, everybody plays the game. The ball went behind the line, went into the net. They scored. They won. We lost. My thoughts right now, I have no clue what my thoughts are, except that, as you know, as you see my name poppy out, that's it. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think we had on the Den After Dark somebody do the stats. It was easily the largest expected goal differential in a loss at home ever in the history of Orlando City since we joined MLS. We outscored them, I think, by like 2.7 expected goals or something along that route. Me personally, I like to look them up. Not a huge fan on taking them for any sort of worth. The whole, you know, stats and the expected goal stuff. Never really have been. Like, I'm with you, JJ. Like you said, you put the ball in the back of the net or you don't. I don't care if it was worth 0.2 or 0.8 expected goals. I don't really give it a darn, to be honest. So we doesn't matter that we outscored them on paper, because in real life we lost the match, didn't even get a point out of it. Cleon, what were your thoughts on the Minnesota match?
That match, I feel like once Pedro had that mishap, it was a wrap from there, honestly. You know, we got the super early goal, which was good. You know, we should be able to control the game from that point. But, man, I don't – this does not look – we don't look right, man. We don't look right. Our midfield doesn't look right. Defense definitely doesn't look right. Attack, we kind of always look like that, honestly. It's been frustrating, man. It's been frustrating, and I don't even know what to point at because it's so much wrong. I don't even know who you could even point. You can't even, like, just point blame at some, at like, an individual, bro, because it's so much wrong right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the midfield. We lost Cesar in the midfield in that match. He has been back since. Non-contact injury. It looked like it was his knee at first, but then they said it was his ankle. So, you know, I don't know what happened with Cesar, and we still haven't heard any news from Orlando City about his injury, even though it's been a week. We still haven't heard any news, a timeline, you know, even what the injury is. We haven't heard if it's a high ankle sprain or Achilles or a meniscus, or we don't even know. We just know it's a lower right leg injury. That's it. So that was a huge loss for us in the midfield, and that showed over the course of the last.
They're saying it's his ankle now, right?
That's what he left in a boot, in an ankle boot. So I don't think you would leave in an ankle boot if it was your
knee.
Yeah. And if it was your Achilles, I feel like you'd be on crutches or in a wheelchair. So thinking it's a high ankle sprain, which I don't even understand how that happens, non-contact. I've seen hundreds of a high ankle sprains in my day, and I can't ever remember one, you know, just slipping on the turf. And that's how rough the season's been, if that's the case. Without a defender within, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards of them, a non-contact high ankle sprain is pretty much sums up how our season's been so far. Mike, your thoughts?
So just on the injury, because I know a lot of you guys were at the game. I wasn't, so I was watching on TV. That one, he was going in for a tackle, if I remember correctly, and basically his, like, trail leg kind of got caught underneath him and bent weird. That's why it looked like they were doing knee tests on the field, but I guess maybe the way that he did it could have sprained an ankle. I don't understand. I just want to go ahead and, like, I know we have a good relationship with some of the reporters, but, man, I feel like we got to push the team more when they're not releasing injury information to you know, comment on more of what's going on, because that looked like it could have been a season-ending injury. And now we're just hearing that he's questionable, but he hasn't been in the team for three straight games, like not even on the bench or anything like that. So I'm sorry. If he's not making the bench, he's not questionable. There needs to be more information out there. So it's frustrating. I mean, and the game overall was, dude, it was frustrating as hell, man. Because that was a game where for the first time this season, it looked like there was times where the attack could be competent. And then we just completely crapped the bed at certain times and obviously gave up bad counters, bad goals. And it's just – I don't know if that's the – like, it, especially after what happened in Miami, that game was just heartbreaking even more. Because it's a game that we had, and it's a game that we came back into, and then we gave it away. So –
yeah, tough. After the Miami, and then we've tied Tigres, and it looks like, you know, we might have something going, and then that happens. Was you know, tough to say the least, for sure. Speaking of the Tigres match on the road, the second leg, 4-2, is how it happened. And we touched how we were self-inflicted against Minnesota. Really, all three goals that we allowed were self-inflicted. You know, expected goals, they don't account for, you know, just a miserable turnover or, you know, a goalkeeper being an idiot. You know, they don't account for that. It really just takes in where the shot was at, where the rest of the players on the field were at, and that's it. So, you know, it's the way that we've been giving up goals. And that really was highlighted in the Tigres match. You know, we get two goals in from the penalty spot, still nothing in the run of play. And you look at, you know, the first goal against Tigres, Pedro just can't even parry it away, which is a specialty. Just skips right over his hands. We give up the penalty, Dagger Dan, which some people say it wasn't a penalty. Didn't even go for the ball. Didn't even leave the ground to head the ball on an aerial ball in the box. We have four defenders in the box. They have one dude in the box, and we give up a penalty. In my opinion, it's a 50-50 call, and the coin flip didn't go our way this time. At best, it's a 50-50 call. So they gave up the penalty. They score. We get a way cheaper penalty with Janssen flopping. Way, way cheaper penalty. So the odds were evened out there. And then, you know, we look pretty good. We look pretty good going for the win. You know, the 2-2 would have had seen us advance. We look pretty good for 30, 40 minutes. You know, we really got on our feet. We looked decent. And then Nico Ladero just has one of the most questionable, absolute worst touches I've ever seen from anybody in an Orlando City uniform, especially in the game that we were playing, and literally tries to clear it out, and just it goes straight to the top of the box and lands perfectly at the feet of their, once again, their only dude anywhere near the ball. And he passes it, gives up the goal, which you can say what you want. It was a goal. It wasn't a goal. Once again, you know, we know the cards that were dealt. We know there's no goal line technology, and they called it a goal. And it was one of those plays where whatever was called on the pitch is going to be the final decision, and they called it a goal, and that's just what it was. No doubt in my mind, if it was not called a goal and went to review, it would have stayed not a goal. But, you know, that's where it went for me. To me, I could see both ways. I could see where you could think it wasn't a goal, and I could see, honestly, where it may have been a goal. So we give up the goal. We go down 3-1, and then – Pedro just gets embarrassed. We go up a man, and then Pedro just gets embarrassed from 40 yards out, totally off his line. So all four goals to me were cheap. I think we could have easily advanced against Tigres on the road. You know, given what they gave us, we could have easily advanced against them. They didn't earn it whatsoever. All they did was capitalize on abnormally horrible mistakes, not even like normal mistakes that you see in soccer. These were like glaring, like basically you might as well just turn around and put the ball in your net mistakes, in my opinion. So I want to hear what you guys thought about that. You know, do you agree with me that you know it was winnable, that we could have advanced? Do you agree that that, you know, the game was there for our taking, or do you kind of think it lied where it went, Cleon?
Honestly, at the time, I thought it was a winnable game that we squandered. But as time's going on and I'm seeing us play other teams, and it's like, maybe not. maybe we're really bad right now. And for right now, these dudes just don't have it, man. I don't know if we got fat cats on the team now or what, man, but it seems like everybody got paid, and now everybody that got paid is they ain't living up to what they were doing before. You know what I mean? Look at it. Everybody that got paid is slacking, bro. Angulo, he looks down from last year. Faku looks down. Pedro got paid, looks down. Both of the midfielders got paid. They both been terrible. I don't know, man. I really don't know what to think about this team right now, but they don't look like the same guys. They don't. Like, they look soft. They look weak. They look, like, lazy.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get into it later with, like, coaching and all this. I don't know, man. I don't know. This team, something's off with these players, man, to me.
I've been on the players, you know, usually you could last year was a little different. It felt like the players were playing well, but just weren't given tools to win, and it feels like this year it's like we're not even getting that part. We're not even getting the players playing well part. It's like we can't even assess the tools that are being provided because, you know, even if you had the tools, you're still trying to use a Phillips head screwdriver to screw in a flathead screw. It's like, you know, you're not even using the we don't even know what the tools are. We can't even assess, in my opinion, if you know it is anybody else, because some people say it stops with the coach, but I mean, goodness gracious, when you're giving up these sort of mistakes, I mean, the coach can't run on the field and settle a ball when nobody's around you and actually clear it correctly. You know, the coach can't parry away a easily savable, you know, shot from outside the box. You know, the coach can't not tackle the only dude in the box to give up a penalty, you know, so – you know, I think especially in the Tigres game, you know, I was feeling after the Tigres match, there ain't nothing. I mean, you can't put nothing about this on Poppy. On Wednesday morning, I was thinking that was a miserable. That was one of the worst games I think I ever saw us play. You know, and we've had a few of those this season so far. I know we put up two on the road in Monterrey, but overall, I don't ever remember giving up four goals like that, where every single one was like easily preventable. Not even just like, oh, I could have went a different way. Like, no, like one specific thing changed on each one, changed every single goal. So I don't ever remember that. JJ, what were you feeling Wednesday morning when you woke up? Were you feeling any different than you were feeling Monday morning this couple days ago or yesterday?
I was feeling, how can I say, the same as I was feeling after the Minnesota game. I'd just be honest with you guys, this Tigres game, going there, you know, and playing that game, I was like, okay, 10:30 game, we're going to, you know, hopefully do good, and all we need is a tie. That's all we need is a tie. And then the mistakes, you know, by Galese, the one I don't understand is, you know, we're down a man. Why in the heck? You give that ball over, and that guy just – free kicks it 40 yards out. Galese, what are you doing? I mean, I think you were outside of the box, running back into the box to try to get it, you know, when he kicked it. Just so far this year just seems like, and I don't want to say it's the money because these guys are professionals. I don't think they're, you know, I got paid my third year. Second year and I'm on my third year contract or whatever, I'll work my butt off to get another contract. These are professionals. I don't think they would do things like that. But then again, who knows? But I don't know. Something's very strange with this team. You said something about Poppy, that it wasn't on Poppy's fault. I agree with you on that. The Tigres game, he's not the one that's kicking the ball into the net. He's not the one that's doing the slide tackles, like you said, Alex. I don't think that game was on. It was mental mistakes done by Orlando City players. And those mental mistakes, the coach can't do. Now, we move on to the Atlanta game, when you're going to talk about here soon. That's where I made my decision with the Poppy out thing. Because it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense, a lot of things here. So I'll let you talk about the Atlanta, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
All right, Mike, you have anything to add about the away leg in Tigres?
No, I all that I'll add to it is pretty much kind of reiterating what you said, Alex, is just the fact that we saw it against Miami. We saw it against the away leg in Tigres. We saw it against Minnesota. There has been a irregular during the Poppy tenure and honestly like kind of unthinkable amount of mental mistakes on the side of the players, which is where my questions are at as to what the hell's going on. I'm not trying to imply anything. I don't have sources. I don't know anything, but something's up. These players have gone for some of them who have been with us, even Robin, who he had a good game against Atlanta, even though we lost. But even Robin making mistakes that are uncharacteristic that we haven't seen over the course of 4 years of Poppy being here and Robin being here. We're seeing Cesar, who over the last 2 years has been one of the most solid CDMs in the league, making some boneheaded freaking plays, man. Like, there's just so many things that over these few games that I don't know what we have to, if we have to get back to basics or what's wrong or where these disconnects are, but it is just, it's unimaginable to me watching last year's team compared to this year's team and seeing these kind of mistakes happen. It's mind blowing.
Yeah. I really don't even know how to assess it. You know, like I said, it's hard to even point a finger because everybody has been so bad on the pitch.
I mean, and I like, and this is why I'm not to the point to where JJ's at, which I know we're going to get to that. So he jumped ahead a little. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Cause I know that's where we're getting anyways. One of the guys from one of the Charlotte shows shared expected goals charts. Cause he was bragging about the fact that Charlotte's got like the lowest expected goals against this year. So through league play. So not counting League's Cup that, or not League's Cup, CCC, that doesn't count. Just during the four MLS games this year, Orlando City has an expected goals 6.3. Not a terrible number through four games, but not a great number. Through four games as well, we have an expected goals against of 6.1. So in actuality, it says that we should be outscoring our opponents. It's just our offense isn't finishing and our defense is giving up goals we shouldn't give up. Like, there's just such a disparity, and there's so much for me that is just on these small mental mistakes that I don't know what you guys got to do to figure it out, but it's got to be quick. It's a long season, but it ain't that long a season.
We're used to giving up those kind of lucky,
You
know, like, oh, there's nothing you can do about that goal. Like the Jose Martinez goal Philly had last year at home against us when we were playing at home. You know, to seal a point, you're like, what can you do about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do.
He's never going to hit a ball better in his life.
Yeah, there was a couple of those last year. Even when we started out rough, you know, there were still a couple of those where you're like, oh, you know, like the players like played well, but we didn't score, which is, like Cleon said, pretty bang average for us. But they got lucky and everything, things fell right for him, and then you saw it at the end of the year. You know, that luckiness started to average out. We went on our run, but this year it's not luck. It's been, you know, it's been pretty bad when it comes to the goals we've given up. You know, we'll move on to the Atlanta match, but the second goal in Atlanta was like the first time this year that I was like, oh wow, like that was a well earned goal from the opposition, like. There's not really much that you can do about that. And even then, Rafael Santos just gets literally twirled around like Boateng, gets slid up on the turf and goes down. And it's not an easy goal to score, but it's one that you can, you know, almost swallow. But it's still not like a goal that's like, what, you know, that was unstoppable, because Santos gets partially embarrassed by Brooks Lennon. And you know, it goes to the, what, a number nine DP striker, even though he wears number seven, what you wish you have when you sign a DP striker, where he gets the ball at the top of the box, nobody really around him, and he one times it and puts it right into the back of the net off the post. You know, that's something that I don't think we've really ever had since Kaká, where, you know, you could get a guy gets the ball at the top of the box and you're like, oh, this is going in, you know? And that's something that a lot of the top teams in the league have right now. And I'm not sure that, we've had that in 5, 6, 7 years. Nani is the only one that gets close. And even still, a lot of times where it wasn't that way, you know, it's kind of him making his own stuff happen. So, but yeah, 2-0 loss in Atlanta. I thought it was going to be like 4-0 after we gave up the first goal, to be honest. But we looked decent once again. We didn't look horrible. You know, we for a lot of the game, we were playing on the front foot. We looked like we could make the goal to get at least a draw and kind of stop the bleeding a little bit. And it didn't happen again. It didn't happen again. You know, we didn't convert the goals. Muriel looked fantastic. You know, the guy looks like he's going to have to play the 10 for us, in my opinion, because nobody else wants to do it. Not because I think he'd be, you know, I think he may be our only option. Not because I, you know, think that I wouldn't want to put other people there, but I think he's the only guy that wants to do what a 10 needs to do. And nobody else wants to do that. Everybody else wants to go one-on-one, go down the wings, and see what they could do cutting in. And I said this in the chat. When was the last time an Orlando City winger beat a defender one versus one? I feel like I haven't seen it in ages. I mean, Facu Torres can't beat a guy off the ball unless he plays for the Canadian Premier League. That's it. It's he's been, for lack of a better term, miserable, in my opinion, you know, for what you expect out of him. Angulo, like Leon said, what happened to that dude? With his speed, that used to be a factor. It's not a factor anymore. His speed's not a factor.
It's a complete non-factor. It's like it's disappeared completely.
Yeah. It's only a factor on defense. That's the only time I've seen it is when he's defending. That's the only time this year I've been like, wow. That's why we like his speed. When he trails back, and then guys that have the ball on the opposition, they don't account for him trailing back so quick, and he comes in from behind and gets an easy turnover. You know, but on offense, non-existent, you know. And I feel like we saw a lot of that too. That's just how it goes with fast players, right? Like even in the NFL and you know, in other sports, when you got a guy that's extremely quick, usually it lasts for like a year. Maybe two, but then after that, you know, speed is not this thing that is like a always killer. You know, you could game plan for speed, and we saw that a lot after Juan, for his first season, was so electric. And then after that, it was like people were game planning. Listen, we can lose a lot of different ways, but don't lose just because this guy runs faster than us. You know, they could game plan for that, and I feel like that a lot of that's going on for Angulo too. So you can sense a frustration in my voice, I'm sure. I'm starting to get a little bit more upbeat or up, you know, with the passion in my voice, because I've just been, like you guys said, it's been a complete 180 to what we expect from the players, from a Poppy-led team, from Orlando City for the last, you know, 3.5 years. It's the exact opposite of what we've seen, you know, and I can't remember a time where I felt so highly about a team going into a season, and then this happens. You know, this is the way it starts. I just can't remember that. Maybe FSU when they hired Willie Taggart is the only thing I can think of. So, Cleon, more about Angulo, what about Facu? Where the heck's he been?
For me.
I know you mentioned Janssen.
Yeah, for me. The Angulo thing, I have no clue, because I don't know if teams are taking us out of that, or we've just in our attack we've completely changed and we no longer try to use his speed to get behind, because I don't even see it being attempted for the most part. So it's weird, because it's going all the way back. Like even it's been like that all season. So where you just don't see it anymore. And you're not seeing him getting in behind people. You're not even seeing his attempt. You're not seeing the balls even be attempted to get behind. You're not seeing the run made. So is that tactical? Or is it tactical on the opponents where they're just taking it away from us? I don't know. Facu, I don't know. For me, Facu, he's never really been there in big games. The only big game I could ever remember where he showed up, where it was the Open Cup final, and that was against a USL team. You know what I mean? The big matches where it's hype and it's a big rivalry, or it's a big national television or whatever the case is, playoffs, anything. It just never seems like he's up for it. And he gets pushed around off the ball very easily. His body language gets bad. It's like you just – like his ball – I said it earlier. Like his balls need to drop when it comes to these big games, bro. Like he's just getting pushed. He's getting pushed around like a little kid. You know what I mean? And he just he gets pushed. He just kind of he doesn't really fight back. You know what I mean? Like one thing I'll give like a guy like Wilder is Wilder will get, and mind you, he gets out of control. He's been out of control all season. I'll give you that. He's been completely out of control. But the one thing about Wilder, a guy like Wilder, is he can go and he can get, you know, he might get toasted even, but he's going to fight you back. You know what I mean? Whether it's fighting back the right way or the wrong way, he's going to fight back in some way. And when it comes to these big matchups, I'm just not seeing that same fight when it comes to like Faku. I just don't see it. But yeah, that's where it's at for me.
No, it's a good point. You know, I never really thought about that. But as I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, Faku loses the ball, he kind of just gets, his body language gets horrible before he worries about going to get the, going to attack the player who just took the ball from him. You know, he's not looking at getting the ball back. He's looking at just being disappointed, showing visible disappointment. So I expect more from him. I think everybody expects more from him, especially all the talk that happens with him. It's, you know, it's not what you need out of a full designated player. It's not anywhere close, if we're being honest. It's not anywhere remotely close to what you expect. You know, even his numbers last year, if he didn't nail penalties so well, how many penalty goals did he have last year? Five? I think he had five penalty goals out of,
I think five.
Out of, yeah, what do you have, 12 total goals? Something like that, 12 or 14. You know, it's with that production, he should be putting up 18, 20, 22 goals in a season if he's going to get five or six from the spot. So it's
think about that in itself. Think about that in itself. What, all them penalty goals? It's one thing. I'll give credit for a penalty goal if you drew the penalty. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're just, you're supposed to be our guy, you're supposed to be our star, so we're going to let you take the pen so you can inflate your numbers. I'm not going to be like, oh, big ups. Oh, we got this dude. He's a dynamite goal scorer. Not really, bro. He's taking all the pens. You know what I mean? Yeah. At the end of the day, if you look at it, he outscored Martin Ojeda by one goal last year. And real, like, actual goals where he did himself. You know what I mean? If you let Ojeda take them pens, or Duncan, or anybody for that, Carr, anybody for that matter, they're going to bang five out of six on themselves anyway. You know, unless you're Nani. unless you're Nani, but anybody else, Tesho, whoever, bro. Like, you know what I mean? If you let them take all the, then yeah, they're going to have some goals. They're going to have some numbers at the end of the season. So, you know, Ojeda, he barely played and dude had like six goals. So, I mean, that's why I said that even coming in. Like, I think we need more. We need more out of him, for sure.
Yeah. Mike, did you see any positives in the Atlanta match?
For me, I kind of mentioned it already. My positive was that I saw a little bit more fire out of Janssen, and he kind of got his crap together for the most part. Because he was one who was struggling as well, and you could see that there was times where he was frustrated. I mean, I liked some of what I saw out of Muriel, but Muriel's playing as a 10, and he's a striker. Like, why are we not using him to the best of his abilities? Why? Like, I understand the idea of playing him and Duncan off of each other, but I still feel like there's not that connection, and we're not used to playing that way. So we really didn't get, you know, find ways to make it work. And kind of going off the Faku thing, I think we oftentimes end up getting ourselves in rose-colored glasses with certain things. And this one was pretty, you know, we all saw in preseason, Faku was everywhere. Anything we saw from the club during preseason, Faku was balling out, you know. And it's one of those things, you know, we got to remember preseason and regular season, two different things. So it's frustrating to see that kind of stuff happen. But, you know, I don't know. It's, if there's anything good that I saw, it's that I saw some heart out of Janssen. And we really need that right now. That's what this team,
you talk about Janssen. I want to ask you guys a question, because I saw this on Twitter. I think it was Patty who said this, and she said something along the lines of, did we make a mistake putting Janssen as a captain? because he's been less vocal this year. You know, he's got a lead from that back line all the way up the field. And, you know, was it a mistake having him as a captain? Personally, I don't know who else you would even consider to put as a captain. But, you know, is it a mistake to have him as the captain? You know, last year you would see Mauricio, you know, calm everybody down. You would see him, you know, when we needed it, take that extra step and you know, and tell people, hey, you know, take a breath type of deal. But with Johnson, I feel like the weight is squarely on his shoulders now. And do y'all think that he's up for it?
I mean, as far as him talking, he's still got 2 yellow cards in 4 games, and they're all both for dissent. So, I mean, I don't... he's still talking plenty.
To the rep is one thing, but to his teammates is...
You follow your leader, and this is where the discipline comes in. Johnson argues a lot with the referees, you know, dissent, everything. So it goes on to other players. And those players start getting argumentative towards the referee, towards all that. So Mauricio was totally different. Mauricio, like you said, Alex, would go try to calm him down. Try to, hey, back up. I'll talk to them. Get away, you know. Robin, nah, he's letting everybody do, because he has that mentality of a defender of, I'm arguing, you know. I didn't foul him. I mean, look what he did with Silva in the Atlanta game. I mean, yeah, Silva shouldn't have been picked up the ball or whatever and try to run it to the referee. I mean, he picked him behind his neck and threw him down. I mean, you could see it on TV. That's not what a captain does, you know? That's definitely not what a captain does. So I'm kind of with Patty there, you know? But who would you give it to? I mean, you're not going to give it to Facundo, who's too young to me. I mean, only person now that could get it is probably Luis Muriel. That's the only person that you could probably give it to. But, I mean, who else would you give it to? I mean, Pedro's having horrendous season so far. You can't give it to him. So, I mean, Robin right now is the only one until they give it probably to Muriel. But, like I said, you follow the leader, and the leader is supposed to be, you know, he needs to calm – first of all, he needs to calm himself down, and then he needs to calm his team down. You know, and from there, that's where they start learning and everything. But if you are a firecracker, your rest of your team's going to be a firecracker also.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, I love Johnson for that, but I do agree with JJ. He's got to be, you know, he's put him in anger management classes or something. Was that move? Do the woo-saw, man. You got to calm yourself down. Like,
yeah, I agree with JJ. Yeah, you follow your leader, and I'm just wondering if that's having any effect on the way that we've been playing as well. JJ, Cleon?
Yeah, for me, like, me and Eddie, we've been making jokes like on Twitter and stuff about it ever since they named it. You know what I mean? Like passive aggressive jokes about it. But for me, that was never the guy to that role. You know what I mean? He's not. Robin to me was never, and a lot of fans are, oh, you got to give it to Robin, but if they're like, oh, he's been here the longest, this or whatever, but like, while Robin, I could say he's probably a leader of the back line. Most of our leadership is really from, you know, the mid up, you know what I mean? At least as far as the guys that need to be led, you know what I mean? The goalkeeper is always commanding that back line, so. Pedro's always the captain, no matter who's the captain, when it comes to those front four in front of him. That's any team. That goalkeeper, he's always the one, you know, commanding and you know, do this and do that, because they're the ones that see everything. The captain for the rest of the team, and as far as when you're talking about, you know, get the possession together, or look, guys, we got to push harder, we got to attack harder, or we got to defend harder. That's a midfield and up job. It's really a midfield job. Even for a striker, unless it's just somebody that's just star power is just so strong that they have to be that guy. our team is younger. It probably does have to be one of the younger guys, man. Like, it's weird because it's like you're saying, who do you give it? If you don't give it to him, who do you give it to?
So let me ask you guys a question. Sorry, Killian. Facundo, could there be some negativity because they gave it to Robin instead of him?
No, I don't
And him
don't,
being the star?
I don't think. No?
No,
okay. No way.
It was just a question. No. Yeah.
No. I don't think it's anything.
I mean,
like
yeah, I don't think so either, because he was also never a vice captain, anyways. So,
yeah, I don't think it's nothing like that. But I mean, I don't know. As weird as it sounds, it's almost like maybe the captain should have been like Cesar, as young as he is. Like, it sounds nuts, but as far as those guys. From there forward, if Nico was the starter, I could maybe him. You know, he's got that type of experience and things like that, at least through MLS. He's been trash, mind you. But, you know, as far as knowing how to lead a team verbally and push-wise and communication-wise, because let's be honest, most of our guys are South American. So I know Robin knows how to communicate some in Spanish and things like that, but as far as being the guy to actually, it's one thing knowing how to basically communicate to people, but communicate with them to the point to where you can lead them and motivate them and push them to places where they can't go on their own. That's a little rough. You know what I mean? So I almost feel like it should have been somebody like Cesar, even Nico. Muriel, maybe. He hasn't really been here long enough to where I know, but he's got a lot of experience too. I just feel like it's probably honestly it should have been one of those guys. It would be more effective, yeah. I think.
I agree. Mauricio wasn't the best last year and he was still our captain and look at where he got us. So I wouldn't have been surprised if it was Nico, even from day one. Even what he did in preseason. He's been horrible, like you said, but I still wouldn't have been surprised. And I'm not convinced it was the right decision to make Johnson the captain. So I'm glad we talked about that. This is going to be a long one, so I hope everybody's all strapped in. We already know that. But let's get to our stock up and stock down quickly. Let's focus just on the Atlanta match because there wasn't much of a stock up. I mean, obviously, Duncan against Minnesota. Tigres was rule. I don't think anybody was really truly stock up. But let's focus on the Atlanta match, stock up and stock down. I'll give you all 30 seconds each. Mike?
Stock up, I've said it like three times already. I'm going to give it to Johnson because of the fact that I think that he did – he had some moments. And stock down is Nico, man. I don't even want to see him on the field at this point. He's been I heard so much about the fact that he has so much left to prove and he's excited to be here. I ain't seen it. I ain't seen it at all. And I don't know how we could be having him on the we have him on the field right now out of necessity, and that's about it. So,
JJ,
stock up, Kyle Smith. You tell him to go take a shower, he'll take a shower. You tell him to go cut the grass, he'll go cut the grass at Interco Stadium. You tell him to go park cars, he'll go park cars. You tell him to play center defensive mid, he'll play center defensive mid. You tell him to play striker, he'll play striker. Kyle Smith is the Iron Man of Orlando City. Stock down, the whole Orlando City organization.
Cleon?
Stock down for me, definitely. God, I want to give it to more than one guy, bro. Pedro, stock down for sure. He's been abysmal. Sure, he had a good second half, but, I mean, he's literally – have mistakes across his goals in every single game this year, which is nuts from him. So stock down, stock way down for him. Another stock down, shoot, Wilder. He didn't even play. I'm going to get him stock down because you just – like, bro, like, get a grip, man. Get a grip. Like, the dude's – he's been out of control. Like I said earlier, he's been out of control. He is one of our most important players that we need, but he's got to get it together.
I'd say it's still fair to give him a stock down considering he got the red card after the final whistle.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't, like, you just, he's at this point, he's unreliable right now. So, stock down for him, too. and my other stock down, I got stock downs for like half the team. I'm sorry. And then Nico, man, that good Lord. I can't
just do like me.
I can't even deal with that dude right now, bro. Stock up. I'll go Muriel. Stock up. Muriel. I don't know, a lot of guys, I think he's kind of like Pato to me, bro. The way he plays. He's not really, he's a nine, but he's not really. So, like, I think him and Duncan can play together. And at this point, it's probably most likely our best option by far. Especially with the way that Ladero's playing. Ojeda, he's been over on the right, which is I think his natural position. He's been over on the right lately, the last couple games, and I'm shocked at how he hasn't really done anything from over there. I was expecting to see him turn up once he actually got in his right position, but he hasn't really done anything with that either. But that's my stock up. I'm going to just go Muriel.
My stock down is Angulo. Because where have you been, my guy? I forgot about him. Not sure where he's been. Nowhere to be found. And I like the Muriel shot for stock up, but I'm going to go with Kochevsky for stock up. I thought he had a good last 15 minutes. Yep. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed watching him. He actually gave me some faith because, Felipe doesn't give me the faith. So he gave me faith. Hopefully he can get 90-minute match fit. And I think that's to me, honestly, after the start we've had, that 15 minutes was the most positive 15 minutes of the entire Orlando City season for just that sole player. He's, I think, the only guy that has given me hope for anything, not necessarily to win games or to win the cups or anything, but just maybe we hit another guy in the draft, and that's hopeful. So I enjoyed watching him play, and he was creative and was making decent runs and looked like he played well with the other guys. So I enjoyed watching him for that last 15 minutes.
Al, for me, and this is about as good a compliment as you can get from me when it comes to these younger guys. Like I don't feel uncomfortable with him getting played. So if they put him out there, I'm not even freaking like that. You know what I mean? He hasn't looked out of place. So until he looks like he's not supposed to be there, for now, I mean, put him in, bro. Let him play. If Wilder's out or Cesar is out, if you want to put him there instead of Nico, I'm comfortable with it.
He looks like he can be that box to box, get attacking, kind of eight style. So
yeah.
I think he might. I think he could slide in well for Cesar because that's kind of what he was doing to begin the year anyway. So I'd like to
see him. I mean, we make the joke about Shaq Muhammad how when he runs he looks kind of like Kevin Molino. Kochevsky's build, dude, he reminds me of Sasha Kljestan. Like, I would say he's got a little bit more pace in his boots, but he looks like he could be a Sasha Kljestan type guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was pleasantly surprised by him, and I would like to see him get starts if Cesar is going to be out. I would prefer him over Felipe, because you know what you're going to get with Felipe, and we know what we've gotten is not good enough. So at least mix it up a little bit on that end. All right. Now to the big topic. 54 minutes into the show. is it time to panic? Is it, we're what, one or zero, one and three? We're out of the Champions Cup.
There is no Open Cup.
No Open Cup. It's a totally different team that was on the pitch last year, even though most of the guys are the same. And really the one most integral part that we upgraded was the right center back. And he's arguably been one of our, if not our best player, our most consistent player has been David Brekalo. So, it wasn't that. So everybody else that was here last year, the ones that are messing up and the ones that are giving us this conversation, but is it time to panic? I'm going to lead this one with my good friend in the bottom right of the screen, Mr. JJ, because, you know, I know he's been controversial. We know he's popping out. We know he slept on it, and he woke up, and he went to work, and he was still poppy out.
Yeah.
I'm still poppy out. Tell us why, JJ. And
I don't know if you guys can see this.
Can make a difference.
So I don't know if you can see this. So I'm a coach from the opposite team. All of you got to do is just stop these left and right sides. That's it, because we have nothing in the middle. That's it. So we stop Angulo, and we stop on the other side, whoever's on the other side, Facundo, Thor coming down, whatever. That's all you got to do is stop this, because that's all we do is cross the ball.
It's literally been that few years.
So
nothing in the middle, bro.
It's time to change. It's time to change. So that's one thing. As a pundit or a fan or whatever the heck you want to call me, if I can notice it, I think those other 32, 33, whatever teams there are in the MLS and Liga MX that play in the Champions Cup know it also. So time to change on that one. Second, discipline. We have no discipline on this team. And when I talk about discipline, I talk about Cartagena's red card in the last game against Minnesota. Janssen getting dissent, doing stupid things. Our players have no discipline whatsoever. That's a coach. Coach and coaching staff need to put discipline on these players so these players don't get frustrated so easily and get pissed off and say, for example, Luis Muriel in the Atlanta game, you could see him being frustrated. You could see him with his arms telling the other players, like, hey, what's going on? What's happening? You know, give me the ball. Pass the ball. Guys, run up. He's trying to do everything, telling these guys, and these guys aren't doing anything. That is another thing that the coach needs to figure out. Thor, Kyle Smith, Atlanta game. I got a list here. Thor, Kyle Smith, you have a natural center defensive mid playing right back. And you have a right back, natural right back, playing center defensive mid. Why wouldn't you put Thor as the CDM and Kyle Smith as the right back? This doesn't make sense to me whatsoever, unless they were trying to play three defenders back there. But then you have Kyle Smith that has no clue what midfield is, and he's running around trying to pass the ball and do stuff. It just definitely didn't. It looked like, honestly, it looked like the Orlando youth soccer team out in Seminole playing. When Atlanta had the ball, they were, you know, the formation was great. Orlando looked totally lost in their formation. Ramiro Enrique, what happened to him? Why wasn't he not on the bench? Even though you put Duncan and Luis Muriel.
He was a late scratch out of precaution due to injury that he picked up in training.
Okay, well, fine. Facundo, was he hurt? Was he being disciplined by the coaching staff? Was he, what's going on with Facundo? Because if it's injury, why did he get called up to the Uruguayan national team? So it's okay for him to play for Uruguay's national team while they're injured, but for Orlando City, they're not? Kind of interesting there. But you put the best players out there, don't you? You don't put your best player, that your DP, on the bench against a rival, do you? I mean, unless you're Oscar, I am assuming. But if he's injured, why is he getting called up? Because Uruguay would not call him up if he was injured. So, hey, that's interesting. So interesting there. And then my last thing is, I got two more things, actually. Locker room. There's some little tweets going out there about the locker room. Is the locker room lost? We don't know. I don't know. But from what I'm seeing on Twitter, there's some talks out there. But it does look like a team that doesn't want to play for Oscar. This expecting goal thing, only in the MLS is where I hear the expecting goals. I don't hear it in England. I don't hear it in France. I don't hear it in Italy. I don't hear it in South America. Only MLS is where I hear this expecting goals, where it's 6.3 or 2 point whatever. Just the bottom line is get the ball into the net. who cares what expecting goal is? It's not going to do anything. You lost, you lost. Get the ball into the net, win the game. That's the bottom line. And the other thing is, these people keep on telling about last year. Last year was last year. So let's go back 6 years ago. Hey, this team looks like 6 years ago. Okay, what happened 6 years ago? This is a new season. Okay, we suck. We need change. And the change is the coach. It's time. He has taken us. Takes us to the freaking playoffs. That's great. But we cannot pass that second round. We can't go anywhere else. He's shown it. It's time to take it to the next level. We need a coach that will take us to the next level. Okay. And then the players. I hate to do it, but Ricardo and Luis Muzy. We need something. We need players that are DPs, like the Greek Freak in Atlanta, like players that are going to be good, that are going to produce, not players that are going to be on the bench, not players that are freaking only when we need them is when we need to play them. Martin Ojeda, Facundo Torres, players like that. We need these guys always to be playing, and that's why they're DPs. So, and to be a champ, you need to beat the champ. Okay, and all this BS about, you know, oh, we played 15 games or whatever in 2 weeks or 5 games in 2 weeks. Man, suck it up. You're a professional, okay? You have freaking dietitians. You got fitness coaches. You got all this. This is where the coach needs to make his money and know who to play and not to play and do the things. This 5 games in 15 days? Are you wussies? Come on. If you want to be a big Premier League here in the United States, look at Man City, man, playing Champions League, FA, Barkley, whatever, Premier, playing everything. Come on. Wake up, MLS. Wake up, fans. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, and you got to play. It doesn't make a difference of anything about playing 5 games in 15 days. Oh, my God, I'm so tired. Whoop-de-doo, you're getting paid to play. That's your job. So, and the coach, it's your job to make sure the team's ready to go out there every night when they're ready to play. So, that's it. Poppy out. Let's get a new coach in here, and let's go on to the next thing.
I have said this. I can't say Poppy out because I asked for him to be in, so I can't do it. But I can also say I don't disagree with the most that you just said, JJ. I don't disagree with the majority of that, sentiment. So I think a lot of this has to go with how the roster has been built. The most painful thing to me is we know the guys, Ricardo and Luis Muzy, we know they know how to identify talent. They have gone after some of the most valuable players on the planet first, before anybody else goes after them. But we don't want to pinch over that extra $2, $3, $5 million that it takes to get a guy like, you know, the guy from Man City. What's his name?
Julian Alvarez.
Julian Alvarez, you know. Thiago Almada. We don't want to pinch over that extra bit to do it. So I don't know if I'm blaming the front office as much as I'm blaming the checkbooks, because it's super frustrating that we have 3 designated players on the field. And it was put best when it was said, I think John said it first from LPO, and then Eddie reiterated it. We either spend big on salary, or we spend big on a transfer fee. But we don't spend big on a transfer fee and a salary on the same guy. We don't do it. We bring in a guy like Facu Torres for $7 million, sure, but then we pay him what? 500, 600 grand, 700 grand a year, you know, which would be a TAM player, a well below designated player if it was just based off the salary. Same thing with Ojeda. We spend $5 million, well below a designated player salary. Muriel, we give him well above a designated player salary. We got to buy them for $1 million. We got to get the cheap deal. We got to go get the discount bin to do it. And I think this offseason, we had a chance. We're the second best team in the league, and we had a chance to make a clear step forward. Everybody knew what we needed. We needed a center back that we're going to spend money on. Check. He's probably the closest thing to salary and transfer fee, maybe the most that we've ever done. Honestly, I'm sure he's making around $1 million, and we paid 3.2 for him. So when you combine that, that might be literally our biggest DP non-Kakar Nani ever, if you really, on paper, when you really think about it. You know, it's but everybody knew we needed a 10. We needed that guy that's going to play up the middle, like you said, JJ. That's going to create the chances up the middle. That's going to make us more diverse. Everybody knew that we were one step away, and they didn't do it. They were cheap again.
So let me ask you a question, guys. This,
I think it goes on whoever's writing the checks, to be honest. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. It seems like we spent more money and got players with Flavio here than we have with the Wolves.
No, that is completely incorrect.
Maybe on salaries. Maybe no, just because Kaká, but...
Kaká? Nani? I think we went and we spent the money on some named players to be here. Where with the Wolves, it's more of, let's go to South America, try to get a young guy in, and hopefully he becomes big so we can money ball and sell him.
Maybe. I don't. To answer the question, is it time to panic? I am not panicking, but I'm pissed off. I could see the team turning it around. I don't think I'll panic at all, to be honest. I think I'll just get angrier and angrier and angrier. This could go on all season, and I'm not going to panic. I'm just going to be really, really upset because of how much we've fumbled this past offseason and how we refuse to do the obvious thing to win. We're doing the things to maybe turn the club into a profitable club to increase the Wolves investment, but to win, we're not doing the things. Are you panicking, Cleon?
No, I'm not panicking yet. My expectations have definitely dropped a ton. As far as competing for the Shield and stuff like that. Like, I didn't think we'd win the Shield in the first place, but I thought we'd be able to compete for it. Yeah, I can't see that happening. The part that's scary to me is Duncan ain't supposed to be here right now. So if he wasn't, then what were we going to do? Because you take him off this roster right now, then what hope do you even have? Like, it's there's nothing there, bro. And it's weird because the few players I have, as far as if you're talking about attack, where I look at and I say, okay, maybe there's some promise there. It's like they're overlapping with each other to where you can't even put them all on the field at the same time. Because you'll got, you know, while he's here, okay, you got Duncan. Then Muriel, you can look in the mirror and you can see. Be like, you know what? As he gets comfortable, I could see him becoming an impact on here. But then it's a question, okay, then, you know, how do you play those two together? Can you play them together? You got Ojeda, you got Faku. They're always in each other's way. So it's like, okay, do you play who plays, who doesn't? Mind you, Nico, I actually wanted Nico when he was a free agent too. Mind you, I didn't want him as our guy. I was thinking like, okay, let's go get Nico. He's available. Let's go get him. And then go get a DP10 as well. You know what I mean? I was thinking like, go get a DP10 and then you got Nico to back him up. You know what I mean? Then you're really good there. For right now, as far as the 10 goes, unless it's going to be Muriel, I don't even know. But then when Duncan leaves, then what? Well, if he leaves, because I guess that deal's not done anymore. It just doesn't exist. So then it's okay. Then if you move him to the 10, then when Duncan leaves, then what? And it's kind of, you're just shifting the hole around. You know what I mean? Trying to take dirt from one place to fill in the hole while you're making another hole somewhere else. So, I don't know, man. It's like you were saying earlier. It's like a lot of you could see the holes in the roster, and we kind of ignored them because it was the 10, which was obvious that we need to change. We need to get away from a Mauricio style 10, and then we brought in Ladero as a like for like Mauro replacement, but we should have brought something else in instead of him as well. I mean, not instead of, in addition to him as well. You know what I mean? To play in front at that 10. And then the defensive mids, we saw how important they became to us last year with Cesar Wilder. So then it was like, we really didn't think we needed anything else behind it? Like, if one was to get hurt, let's say they were playing well and everything was good. If one was to get injured, then what? Like, we literally have nothing behind it. Literally nothing behind it. We got a kid out the draft sitting there, and that's it. You got Dagger Dan. Everybody says moving back to his natural position, but if he moves back to his natural position, he's not even going to play. So you can't even have that both ways. So then it's, you know what I mean? It's, you want to play center mid. Okay, he's a backup now, though. You know what I mean? So it's where would you rather have him? Unless you just rather have Kyle Smith start over him at right back, leave him where he's at because at least he's on the field. But, yeah, I don't know, man. We definitely should have had some competition at left back for Santos. So it's – we have holes that should have been filled. Even if they were filled with free agent MLS guys or even some trades moved around or something. But we had holes then, and holes are showing now.
Yep. So, Mike, how did we get? So you're stating that we had holes before the season started. So how did we have all of a sudden all these predictions that Orlando City was going to be better, and Orlando City is going to be first place when we really don't have any depth? Really, I mean, if we got all these holes that you're mentioning, Cleon, how did we all these pundits and all these people are predicting, even some of us here on OLD predicted first place, second place.
Well, I know for me, it was mostly because we had those holes last year too. And we still ended up where we ended up. And then in my mind, natural progression, a lot of our guys are super young. So natural progression, they should have gotten better. You know what I mean? Even if the depth didn't really change that much. Mind you, I think we got a lot deeper in attack, which is crazy to say because we have scored like no goals. But on paper, we've gotten a lot deeper in attack. The midfield, it's Bears Day. But it was Bears Day last year too. Outside of, we did get Ursolo to kind of try to fill that a little bit later on. But I mean, really, that was even those predictions, that's more of a on paper, we should be better. And we should be.
And I'll kind of double down on that with you, because if you look at the roster from last year, the core of it that was starting, the areas that we thought that, you know, from that starting lineup, we felt that we improved on what we had. Yes, things were thin, but they were thin last year, but we also hadn't seen, we didn't get see any kind of things like injuries pop up like we saw with Cesar early this season. We didn't, you know, so obviously we were kind of hoping that that wouldn't happen. And the other thing for me is also, you didn't look at people just playing this piss poor, for lack of a better term. Like, I don't have a better way to describe it. I see you giggling over there, but like, the biggest strength of our team last year was the pairing of Cesar and Wilder. And that's damn near the biggest weakness that we've had so far this season. And the only other thing that might be a bigger weakness is Pedro, who were usually riding his jock as being one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And he's been personally responsible for like four of the goals that we've conceded this season. Like, and that's just in league play. That's not even counting CCC. So I didn't mean to jump you off, Cleon, jump in front of you there, Cleon, but I was just going to say that, you know, I'm not panicked yet, but you could tell by the sarcastic tone in my voice, I'm very annoyed. But for me, it's really this next like 3 to 6 game stretch that's pivotal. Like, there's some players that are going to be missing for this next game, but like Austin and New York Red Bulls at home, these next two games in particular, this is the make or break moment. If things go poorly in these next two games, we're so far off the rails that I don't know that we're getting back on.
Mike, the bad part about that, as you're saying that, is ours, mind you, no matter how hard it's been, we shouldn't be in a position we're in as far as our record,
should be
our goal difference, any of that. But our schedule's been a nightmare, bro. Our start of schedule, or the season schedule, even as far as CCC and everything, this schedule is a nightmare to start. It is a nightmare start. Like, it's I will be shocked if it's not the hardest schedule anyone's had in the league by far. And then it's not getting any easier going forward, at least not anytime soon. And with us playing this bad and not picking up any points and things like that, like, that might be a big hole to climb out of, bro. Like, if you let this continue and you let this shatter your confidence, once the schedule lightens back up, it might be too late, man.
So you sound concerned there, Clint.
Yeah, I'm concerned for sure. I'm not in a panic.
I'm not in
throw the baby out with the bathwater mode. But because I think the talent's there. I think the talent and the pieces are there. But
the fact of the matter is, we got 5 games coming up, and only one of them is against, I think, a playoff team from last year in the Red Bull, and they barely made the playoffs. So we have 5 games in a row that are coming up starting on Saturday that, if you look at last year's teams, we should have won every single one of them. If we don't get at least 9 points out of these next 5 games, I think there's going to be some shaking up. I think things will change. I don't consider if you get 2 points against 5 games against Austin, Red Bull at home, BC United, Montreal, Toronto. You know, those are games where when you look at the season, the schedule before the season, you're like, yeah, our schedule's horrible to start. But these 5 games are winnable. They should be, you know, they should be dubs, especially with how we played on the road last year. 3 of the 5 are at home. And you know, we need to take, if we're going to get back on the rails, it's got to happen in these next, like Mike said, start with the Austin match, to be honest.
It's got to start at a time.
It has to start this weekend because, you know, it's not a choice. Austin was absolutely miserable, really, last year. They were not very good. And this year they have not been very good. And they're coming in here, and, you know, it just so happens to line up, we have 6 starters out, which adds on to the scheduleness and just being brutal. But that's not great. You know, we're missing Bracalo, we're missing Pedro, we're missing Wilder. All because of international duty. Duncan, Faku, all because of international duty. There's 5 starters gone on international duty. Cesar's still hurt. We're going to assume that's 6 starters out. And then Loyola and Salim are also on international duty. So it's likely that we're going to see Janssen and Schlegel with Mason at goalkeeper. We're probably going to see Felipe and Kochevsky midfield, you know, if not moving Kyle Smith in back to the midfield, one of those 2 guys is going to start. Nico's gonna have to play again. Ojeda and Angulo are gonna have to play again. Muriel's gonna have to do something if we want to pull a result, and not even a result. If we want, we have to get 3 points on Saturday. We have to. If we want the season to be anything, and to turn around and even start a turnaround, we have to get 3 points on Saturday. We have to survive these guys going away for international duty. A lot of these guys that go for international duty, they don't really play pivotal roles. Aside from, you know, obviously, Pedro in goal, you know, he's always there, but it's not a physically demanding, you know, thing to really do. He usually handles it pretty well. Faku sits on the bench. Duncan may not play two full 90-minute matches, you know. Wilder should get some rest. So hopefully these guys come back well-rested, and hopefully we can really start the season when they get back. But it's going to start with a lot of guys having to step up on Saturday against Austin in a very winnable match. I don't care who you put on the field from our team. You know, it's a home match against a Western Conference team. We're going to have two of our three DPs there. Our two most would appear to be, you know, clicking and productive DPs this year are going to be there. Our captain will still be here. So it's going to be important to get the dub against Austin. So I'll start with the preview. With all that being said, on the Austin match, I think it's hard to say all that and then say we're going to get a draw. 1-1, I think. it's hard to say it's got to be a win and then that we're going to get a draw. But we're missing a lot of guys. And from what I've seen, unless Muriel can or Ojeda can take the game over, or Nico, somebody comes and kisses him and wakes up Sleeping Beauty because he's been miserable. I don't see a way forward for this team losing all these players right now. That's just me. Mike?
Dude, this is rough, but I am going to predict a win because I cannot accept anything less. Am I confident in this prediction at this point? Expletive no. But I we record this live. I can't go in back in and edit it. Expletive no, I'm not confident in it. But I got to predict a win. I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be 2-0. Just because of the fact that Austin's hit and miss, and I want Mason to upstage Pedro a little bit. Keep him on his heels while he's gone.
So, is Jersey still playing?
He came back from injury last week for the first time because he hasn't played in a while. So he might not start, but he will be available off the bench for them. And they're also missing one of their starting center backs for international duty as well, Cascante. He's out. So. Well,
Schlegel and Mason probably aren't pitching a shutout then, but I respect the prediction.
I'm predicting it not out of confidence. I'm predicting it out of necessity. It's what this team. I'm predicting what this team needs, not necessarily what we're gonna get.
Okay, Cleon.
Oh man, I'm saying this with very little conviction in my words. 2-1 victory, Orlando.
You think Muriel gets both, or Ojeda and Muriel? Maybe Nico?
I'm going to go Muriel gets one. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say Brace.
All right.
I'll go in.
JJ, I've been waiting for this one. Schedule's getting easier for the next 5 matches.
Oh, that's good. I hope it's getting easier and we win. I'm like Mike. I'm like Cleon. I want to win. No matter what, we need points. We need to win. I mean, the next 5, you mentioned it, Toronto, D.C., Austin. Those are wins. I mean, if we can't win against these guys, then, I mean, really, we're in trouble. So, I mean, Martin's there. Ojeda's there. Luis Muriel. Nico probably, Angulo. On the other side, you're going to have Nico on the defense, Schlegel and Janssen. Thor will play right. Raphael will play left. Maybe put Felipe and Kyle in the middle, or Kovesky. I'm going to just go 1-0 Orlando City. I'm not very 1-0 Orlando City.
You guys all picked off of hope.
I just want to be clear. I'm picking off of I want to be right, and I'm also picking because I never am right, and I am known for the Oppo Jinx for Orlando City. So I am known for talking smack, and then said player or team decisively proving me wrong. So that's why.
I should say Orlando City loses 2-1. That's what I should really say. Yeah, 2-1. Austin beats Orlando City. But then I'll get hate on Twitter saying you're not an Orlando City fan. So you want them to lose all the time. But I mean,
I think a loss on Saturday would be devastating. And we've had some devastating losses already this year. But I think this Saturday would be kind of like the one that takes the glaze away from your eyes and opens, you know, makes you open your eyes and makes a lot of people realize that something's not right. So I'm hoping
Mike Glaze is gone.
We know.
If you go ahead and get your medical card, you could get that glaze in your eyes back. I promise you that.
That is not a sponsor.
No, it's not. It's not. But it could be. It could be. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to lead this Orlando City team in prayer for this weekend. Not to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but to the Vanilla Ice, the Montel Jordan, and to the Rob Bass, because it's 90s night and there's that concert after the game. So we need the spirits of them to bring us to victory. 90s night. To quote Montel Jordan, this is how we do it. So
hopefully it's the one hit wonder concert after Orlando City hopefully wins.
Hey, VIP, let's kick it. All right.
Calm down. Saturday.
Ice, baby.
All right. Let's get to our shout outs. Anybody want to go first?
Something funny in there at least.
Anybody want to go first on the shout outs while I think of mine?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
Never mind. Go ahead, JJ.
All right. Shout out to Orlando, the city of Orlando, for being number one sports event. Got to give credit where credit's due. I never thought I would see Orlando as being the number one premier spot for sports. And then we get the big announcement today, Man City versus Barcelona, July 30th, right at Camping World Stadium. And that's pretty big. At least we didn't get, a small team. We got two big powerhouses team coming right here to Orlando. So shout out to the Orlando Sports Commission group and Camping World Stadium and all them.
We got one big team and one small team there. I'm sorry. I got to disagree with you. But glory, glory, Man United. It's fun to see them beat Liverpool. My shout out, I was just going to go ahead and give a quick shout out to Eli Lesser TV, formerly known as This Week in MLS. He predicted that we were going to win the MLS Cup, and he then has since put out a new video apologizing for the jinx that he put on Orlando and how poorly we played, and he's taken full blame for it. And he's put out a new video predicting a new team to win MLS Cup, which was LAFC. And he won't say their name because he's a Galaxy fan. But he predicted them to win MLS Cup. So shout out to Eli. I appreciate you. Good dude. Good homie. And if this does actually lift the curse, then again, the spirit of the Vanilla Ice, the Montel Jordan, and the Rob Bass definitely did its job. So,
Cleon?
I got nothing.
Nothing but
sadness.
No hopes and sadness, hopes and prayers,
something like that, bro.
Shout out to your dentist.
Oh yeah, for the million dollar smiles. Yeah, but yeah. Shout out for tongues. I had no idea how important tongues were until they had to put a stitch in the side of mine. Now I could barely talk with it. So you know, it's been about almost 3 weeks, so slowly getting it moving.
You gotta be at the game on Saturday.
Yes, shout out to Dennis and Waits. Don't chuck Waits around in front of your face, people. And if you do, make sure you catch it.
not a two not, and a half pounder.
Preferably not with your mouth. So,
are you going to the game Saturday? Shout out to him.
Yeah, I should be there.
All right. My shout out's going to be to the Orlando Magic. Got another win.
Yeah.
Today.
Orlando Magico. Orlando Magico.
They are guaranteed a 500 record. They are at least. They are one half game back of the 4 seed. They are 3.5 games back of the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference with 13 games to go. And I think a lot of people thought they'd be good this year, but I don't think a lot of people knew they'd be this good. And for the record, if we had to sacrifice Orlando City for the Orlando Magic to get good, I think it's the worst trade ever. So
terrible trade.
Horrible trade. I couldn't see the Magic be horrible for
even that. That was my thinking, bro. Like, their team was built like ours, like a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-olds. I was like, okay, well, they finished out real good last year. So you figure, you know, they come into this year, they're a year older, they should be better. That's what I was thinking with our team, but somehow our team decided they're going to regress.
Yeah, so, well, it's not over yet. That. You know, I think it's fair to say a lot of people have said the schedule was really tough. There is a ton of travel going on. We had the injury to Cesar. And even like Matt Doyle says, he thinks the rebound will start as soon as this weekend. He expects us still to be very good. A lot of people still expect Orlando City to be very good. But I think that watching this team compared to last season, especially how it ended, has been an extreme disappointment to a lot of us. But there is still a lot of hope. Not only in Orlando, but outside of Orlando. And we hope that on Saturday it begins against Austin, 7:30 p.m. At Orlando City Stadium, Intern Co Stadium, whatever they call it nowadays.
Will you be there, Swag?
I will not be there. I almost got in a fight with the people behind me on the Minnesota match. Yeah, so a bunch of grown men that like to give high fives to other grown men and knock kids out of the way has always been very weird to me, and I let it get the best of me when we give up a 92nd minute goal to take the loss. And yeah, it wasn't very good, but my ticket sold a while ago for this match against Austin. I had to have something going on Saturday anyway, so I listed them, and they sold a while ago, so somebody else will be there for me. Unfortunately.
Perfect.
But, guys, we appreciate you for joining us. Hour and 32 minutes in. StreamYard's about to kick us out if we talk any longer. And we appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you guys for joining the Den After Dark. Hopefully Saturday I will be on the Den After Dark because I'll be home. I'll be able to hop on that mic if you need me to be the moderator or whatever you need. But I'll be on the Den After Dark and come and join us. Hopefully it's the first good one of the season. We hope. We can pray. And like Mike said, in the name of the 90s rock stars, let's see if we can get our one-hit wonder going and get one time on Saturday and get the dub. So
Ice baby.
As always.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new inventions.
That's enough.
I muted him.
thank you guys for joining us. And as always, vamos, Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.